Christopher O'Reilly here, and while you're listening to this podcast from the top, I want you to imagine perfect weather in Maine. The birds chirping, you'll actually hear some of them, those dark green pines everywhere, and the loons on the lake behind the stage serenely taking in all the music. And by loons, I do mean birds. We recorded this show outdoors in rural Maine, and it really was that picturesque. I think a lot of that beauty comes through in the performances as well. Here it is.
From NPR.
It's From the Top.
Celebrating the power of music.
In the hands of America's kids.
Here's our host, concert pianist Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you. Thank you, and welcome everybody. Today we're performing at the Bowl in the Pines at the Snow Pond Center for the Arts in Sydney, Maine. And that means we're outdoors, enjoying those towering pine trees, the wide open sky, and of course, the ever-present aroma of bug spray. Special thanks to the Snow Pond Center for bringing us here to the home of the New England Music Camp. Kids have been coming to this camp for 78 years to study music, jump into the lake, and tell ghost stories. But we're here to celebrate the Snow Pond Center's launching of a new year-long program of performances and arts education. So, from now on, music will warm up the long Maine winters in these parts, which, if you know Maine winters, is definitely a good thing. But we're here on a beautiful summer evening with no sign of rain, which is also a very good thing. So let's get going with some amazing viola playing. This is 18-year-old Erica Gray from Wilmette, Illinois, playing La Campanella by Niccolo Paganini, arranged by the violist William Primrose. Erica Gray, 18-year-old violist from Wilmette, Illinois, performing La Campanella by Niccolo Paganini, arranged by William Primrose. Erica is a student of Desiree Rustrat at the Music Institute of Chicago. Well, Erica, we know Paganini as a great violinist. I think if Paganini played the viola, he would play it like you. Definitely. That was really spectacular.
Thank you.
You're also fun to watch when you play because your face is just full of life. But this is something you're conscious of, yes?
Yeah, I try to make my face, like facial expressions, relate to what I'm performing. I try to do the characters of the piece, like in the style of like happy or sad or like joking. And so I try to help the audience like understand the character of the piece through my body language.
There's no lack of expressivity in the playing itself, but yeah, you are great to watch.
Thank you.
You're very communicative and gregarious with your music making, and your personality in general couldn't be described as shy and retiring. growing up, apparently you could be quite outspoken regarding practicing in the house. Lots of musicians in your house, yes?
Yeah, my mom supports me a lot, and when I was younger, I wasn't always really appreciative of that. Sometimes I would get frustrated when she tried to practice with me all the time, so I would run down to the drawers with the crafts and the papers, and I would give her little name tags such as Miss Picky Lady or the Intonation Police, and I would stick them on her while she listened to me.
You're outspoken about your opinions regarding male cellists. Why am I talking about that? Tell everybody.
I like people who play the cello, specifically guys that play the cello.
Yes, okay. What is it? I mean, about them?
I don't know. It's just, if a guy plays the cello, it just makes him so much more attractive to me. Yeah.
Oh. Erica, America needs the teenage perspective on cute guys who play the cello. And you're obviously the person to give it to them, wouldn't you say?
Of course. Me, of course.
Joanne?
All right, Erica. First, from history, who is the cutest, dead cellist?
That would have to be David Popper.
Why David Popper?
Well, I was looking at Wikipedia of, cellists, and I came across his page, and I saw a photo of him, and he had this, scruffy kind of look to him. It's like he was, a bad boy, and I totally dig that, so... I mean, it has to be David Popper.
Okay, Popper, got it.
The bedhead was really in the 19th century.
Yeah, you know it. So who's the cutest living cellist?
Luca Sulik from the Two Cellos duo. He's just really attractive, so I would suggest looking him up so you can see what I mean. I'm actually going to his concert in April, next April, so a year from now, but I already got my tickets. And I'm in the third row, so maybe he'll see me.
Okay, I am checking him out right after the show.
Good choice.
But who's your choice as the absolutely cutest cellist, alive or dead?
That's the cellist that I'm going to marry, and I haven't met him yet. I would have to say the cutest dead or live cellist is the cellist of my dreams.
There you go. Of course. And, of course, he'd be extraordinarily lucky to have you.
Oh, thank you.
And we were very lucky to hear you today.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Erica Gray, 18-year-old violist from Wilmette, Illinois.
Podcasts From the Top are available every week at fromthetop.org. Over the last 8 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded nearly $2 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Chris.
If our show sounds a little different today, what with the birds chirping and everything, it's because we're performing outside under the stars at the Bowl in the Pines at the Snow Pond Center for the Arts in Maine. Our second performer is at the mic. He's an outstanding 17-year-old oboist named Ryan Roberts, who's come all the way from Los Angeles to join us here in the Maine woods. Ryan, will you introduce the piece we're going to play together? And I know you have an important dedication you'd like to make.
Yes, absolutely. Tonight we will be performing the Poulenc Oboe Sonata, and specifically the first movement, which is entitled Elegy. And I'd like to dedicate this to my oboe teacher, David Weiss, who passed away earlier this year. He was an incredible mentor and friend, and he really raised me as a musician, and I owe so much of who I am today, both as a musician and as a person, to David. And it's sort of fitting because this was actually the last piece that Poulenc wrote, and he dedicated it to Sergei Prokofiev, who was one of his very good friends who passed away a few years prior to Poulenc's writing of the sonata.
So in memory on many levels, let's play this.
Yes.
Thank you.
Ryan Roberts, 17-year-old oboist from Santa Monica, California, performing the first movement, the Elegy, from Poulenc's Sonata for Oboe and Piano. Well, Ryan, I mean, to say that it was heavenly, I think only brings up the sort of odd image that I have of all of them looking down from heaven, listening to you admiringly playing this piece. Poulenc, Prokofiev, and David Weiss, your teacher. Now, you've been lucky to have some great role models in your life, two other male role models, both in your family, starting with your dad. Tell us about him.
My dad's name is Kevin Roberts, and he is quite an adventurous guy. He is a cinematographer as a profession and also an avid surfer. And our family likes to take exotic vacations, and on all of these vacations, my dad would try to get me to surf with him. And I tried, and I tried, and tried, and tried more. And I finally just realized that surfing wasn't really for me. But I definitely gave it my best effort. And shortly after that, I was introduced to photography by my dad, go figure, as a photographer. And I picked up a camera and started shooting and immediately fell in love with it. And it became my second passion and a passion that I could share with my dad, Kevin. Mm-hmm. And so instead of trying to get me to surf on all these vacations, we would both try and get each other to wake up really, really early when the best light was just as the sun was rising up in all these exotic places, and we would go and shoot wherever we were. And that's sort of the common passion and common ground that we found, even if it wasn't in the water.
That's right. A lot easier not to get eaten by sharks when you're taking photographs, I think.
I would say.
I like that.
Land sharks, maybe.
Yes. And your grandfather's been a major influence in your life, more in the musical side of things.
Yes, my grandfather was an aspiring concert pianist, among many other things. But his father wanted him to get a real job and become an engineer. And that's what he did. And he became a very successful brewmaster for Heineken. And so he would set up lots of breweries all over the world. But all the while, throughout his whole life, he really just wanted to be a pianist. And when he retired and he finally had the time to really be able to follow his dream, he actually developed arthritis and unfortunately could not fulfill his lifelong dream of really just being able to dedicate all of himself to his music and just spend all of his time playing piano, which is very unfortunate. So I think that played a really, really big part in me deciding to study music in college and just take it as far as I possibly can, because you never know what's going to happen if you wait for tomorrow.
That's right. Well, I envy your grandfather in a way. It's sort of the opposite direction. I've been playing the piano for all these years, hoping that someday I'll be a brewmaster. But Ryan, you're obviously making everybody proud, us most of all, just now. This was just magical listening to you play. We look forward to hearing you again.
Thanks.
Best of luck. Ryan Roberts, 17 years old, our oboist from Santa Monica, California. We've got one of the most playful violin showpieces up next, Souvenir d'Amérique, Variations on Yankee Doodle by Henri Vieuxtemps. And the violinist playful enough to perform it is Ilana Zax. She's just joined me on stage, 14 years old, from Needham, Massachusetts. Ilana, Vieuxtemps' motivation to write this piece was all about audience development, wasn't it?
He went on his first American tour, and it was very unsuccessful. So he wrote Yankee Doodle Variations to me, and as soon as he played them, he was airborne with his fame. And then when he came back again for the second tour.
Second successful tour, clearly.
Yes.
Yeah, wow.
He was already famous, but then he decided to keep the piece because it's a favorite.
Played it everywhere. Well, let's give the people what they want, Ilana. Ilana Zax, 14 years old, from Needham, Massachusetts, playing Souvenir d'Amérique by Henri Vieuxtemps. Ilana, you were on fire. You made this slightly chilly evening a little bit more comfortable for a little while there.
The fire came down on me.
That's right, of course it did. There's no question about the hours you've put in to become so great, but lately I understand you personally have been thinking about actually putting in less time practicing.
I think it's very important to get to know your audience, because you can't get that in the practice room. And also, when you get to know your audience, you also get to know yourself a little bit, and it shows when you're playing.
You've been reading about exactly that kind of life and music philosophy, right? Who was reading? Who was writing about that?
Isaac Stern. The book is called My First 79 Years. very good, actually. Highly recommended. Okay. I read it 14 times.
Oh, my gosh.
So he writes about how you have to learn to not just practice all the time, and that his musical life consisted of eating, practicing, performing, and everywhere he traveled, he would always meet young musicians. He would always inspire everyone, and he was a great inspiration for many people, and he raised Itzhak Proma and Yo-Yo Ma, Pinchas Zukerman, Midori.
You've obviously soaked that up. I mean, there's a lot of life. The more life experience, the wider your life experience, the more you have to express through your music, and it really comes across. It's just such a wonderful sensibility that you have. Ilana, your playing was just so great that we'd love to hear some more. Would you come back and play at the end of the program for us?
I'll think about it.
All right. We'll hope for the best. Meanwhile...
And if you turn the heat on inside there.
Excellent. See you in a bit. Ilana Zax, 14 years old, our violinist from Needham, Massachusetts.
Our fabulous host, Christopher O'Reilly, along with the renowned cellist Matt Heimovitz, has just released a new album featuring the complete Beethoven sonatas, all recorded on period instruments. It's called Beethoven Period. Find it at oxingalerecords.com.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from U.S. Trust, who believes that the arts play a vital role in stimulating the hearts and imaginations of our country's best young musicians, as well as NPR listeners. From New England Conservatory, where young artists and teachers are transforming classical music, online at necmusic.edu. And from the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, providing scholarships to high-achieving students with financial need, jkcf.org.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. This week, we're outside at the Bowl in the Pines at the Snow Pond Center for the Arts in Sydney, Maine. The Snow Pond Center is the home of the New England Music Camp. Coming up, Rachmaninoff played by a 17-year-old from here in the great state of Maine. Today's show at the New England Music Camp is made possible with support from Maine General Health. Special thanks to Maine Public Broadcasting. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Thanks, Joanne. Joining us now, a young musician from Maine, from near Bar Harbor on beautiful Mount Desert Island. This is 17-year-old harpist Phoebe Duran McDonald. Please welcome her. Phoebe, even though scholars say that the name of your island should be pronounced with the emphasis on the first syllable, like I just did, how do the locals pronounce it?
They pronounce it dessert, like a piece of pie. And it's actually French, so it's supposed to be pronounced dessert.
Like dessert or something, yes. Well, actually, much more appetizing than a desert. So it sounds
good.
You
could try to find a desert in Maine.
Yeah, interesting. However you say it, we're going to hear more about your island in a moment, but first we want to hear you play. Tell us about this piece.
I'm going to play the first movement from the Hindemith Harp Sonata, and it's the only solo piece Hindemith wrote for harp, but I would like to play more. I wish he'd written more.
Stage is yours. Thank you. Phoebe Durand McDonald, 17-year-old harpist from outside of Bar Harbor, Maine, playing the first movement of the Sonata for Harp by Paul Hindemith. Phoebe is one of our Jack Kent Cook young artists. Phoebe, I'm with you. I wish Paul Hindemith had written more music for the harp. I mean, it's the diaphanous, ethereal sound of the harp is the perfect antidote for the forbidding and somewhat stoic personal harmonic language of Hindemith with his fourths and sturdy fifths. It was just beautiful hearing you play that piece.
Thank you.
I said that we'd hear more about the island off coastal Maine, where you live, and your life there. Here's an audio postcard you sent us.
I love where I live. It's classic Maine. We live in a big old farmhouse on Mount Desert Island. We could literally walk to Acadia National Park, and we hike on all the trails there, whether they're actually maintained or abandoned. And the entire island basically burned to the ground in 1947, the Great Fire. And there were hundreds of trails that were abandoned. So for 2 or 3 years, my family and I have been hiking on those trails and finding them. There's a book that describes all of them. And there's swimming holes, and we found the Great Cave, which we're the only people I know who found it. It's in a lot of books. The Victorians loved it, you know, 100 feet tall by 100 feet wide. And we followed instructions in books forever to find it, 2 years. And finally, we followed a certain set of instructions, basically upside down, and came into this giant cave, dripping with moss, and it was just gorgeous. And then we went around a corner and found a huge set of stairs, stone stairs, and iron rungs, and it was the best adventure. Probably the hardest thing I deal with is that I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes when I was 10. So I'm constantly checking my blood sugar and managing my insulin, and playing harp with my pricked fingers is the worst part of it. I think my diagnosis was harder on my parents than on me, because I remember when the doctor was giving us the instructions in her office, I was sitting there and I was taking it in, maybe not entirely taking it in, but I went to check my blood for the first time, and I looked over at my parents, and they were both crying. I didn't freak out because I'm not squeamish about needles or blood, and it's just going to be something I deal with until somebody finds a cure. But for the first year, I am not an angry person, but I actually yelled at my parents to stop crying. So I love my island, I love my family, but I also love the harp. But here's a big confession that I haven't even told my teacher. As much as I love playing the harp, I don't really love listening to it. But the harp is perfect for me. I don't have the coordination to find the right strings and bow on the violin, but the strings on the harp are color-coded, and it's just like piano. And it's amazing what you can do with that row of strings. I'm never happier than when I'm hiding behind my moose of a harp on stage, showing off what I can do. I can see moving back to the island after I go to college. My parents run a B&B, so I always have a place to stay. No, I'll actually stay at my house. But I'm so suited to the island life, I could go for a hike right now. Most kids I know can't wait to grow up and move off the island as fast as they can and live somewhere else, but that's not me. I'll always come back.
I especially loved your 2-year search for the Great Cave. And tell me something. I mean, that cave just sounds so evocative. Has Stephen King said of any of his books in Mount Desert Island?
If he's found it.
That's right. Okay. You can show him the way. So I'm curious. There you are, growing up on this beautiful island. How do you study harp?
The first teacher I had was a jazz harpist on the island, and she was 5 minutes from my house, and it was perfect. And it was fine until she started jazzing Christmas carols for me, which was fun, but wasn't exactly what I wanted to do with harp. So now my crazy, dedicated, that's the right word, parents drive me 6 hours to Boston for lessons. So it's a 12-hour round trip once a week.
Wow, that is quite dedicated. Well, congratulations on a beautiful performance and on your being a Jack Kent Cooke young artist.
Thank you so much.
A pleasure to hear about your home and hear your beautiful playing, Phoebe. All the best to you.
Thank you.
Phoebe Duran McDonald, 17-year-old harpist from Mount Desert Island off the coast of Bar Harbor, Maine.
Go to our website to see Phoebe's photos of her life in Maine. But alas, no pics of the Great Cave. Apparently, that's privileged information. You can also listen to her performance again or to any of the performances you've heard today at fromthetop.org. Chris.
If you've been hearing bird song and wind through the pines throughout the show, it's because we're playing outside today at the Bowl in the Pines at the New England Music Camp in Maine. Next up is the fine 17-year-old pianist from Falmouth, Maine, Joanne mentioned. This is Christopher Stackness playing the Etude Tableau, Opus 39, number 1 in C minor by Sergei Rachmaninoff. Christopher Stackness, 17-year-old pianist from Falmouth, Maine, performing Rachmaninoff's Etude Tableau, Opus 39, Number 1. Well, Christopher, my favorite Rachmaninoff playing is, of course, by the composer himself, and your playing had all of those qualities that I admire in his playing.
Thank you.
Complete command of all the inner voices and the dizzying finger work as if it were nothing.
Thank
just
you.
Water off a duck's back. It's just extraordinary the way you play it. So you seem born to play Rachmaninoff, but for you it started with this piece. So how did hearing Für Elise of Beethoven as a little kid change your attitude about the piano?
Well, I started taking lessons when I was 6 years old, and then I heard that piece when I was 8. And I just really fell in love with the piece and with Beethoven. And that started an obsession with him. And I set out to listen to as much of his music as possible and collect all of his sheet music and scores.
So he's really a musical and personal hero for you. I guess that as you started taking piano seriously, you also started composing music. Did you emulate Beethoven as much as possible in your early compositions?
Yeah, in fact, in a lot of my early pieces, you can kind of find like a direct correlation with a specific Beethoven piece.
Nothing to be ashamed of. The Scriabin preludes, Opus 11, you may know them, absolutely ape the Chopin preludes,
yeah.
His Opus 28. But now you're writing pieces that are more in your own voice. This is one of them. What's that we heard an excerpt of?
That was The Assassination of Dr. and Mrs. P. Vandertramp.
Now, who are those characters? Are the people you made up? Or?
No, it's actually a mnemonic device in French class to remember like all the different verbs. And I had a particularly large amount of French homework that week.
Oh, gosh. And a great amount of stored-up bitterness.
Yeah.
So, assassination it is. The performers in that recording we heard are members of a very cool group you were a member of at the New England Conservatory. What's the name of the group?
That group is called the Composers Performers Repertory Ensemble, and or CPR for short. And we're all composers and performers, and we basically get together every week and play each other's pieces and play also rep that's old. And the idea kind of came from, well, it was all, we all study with Howard Frazen, who's a composition teacher at NEC, and the idea behind the ensemble came from, like, the old composers who used to do the same thing.
Performers as composers,
yeah.
As performers. It's mm-hmm. a wonderful idea that you're breathing new life into with your CPR ensemble. But you like to write non-classical music as well, because you're interested in that crux of technology and music. Here's a sample of what a bright young pianist can do with electronic music. A very nice EDM groove, electronic yeah. dance music, for those of you who don't know EDM. Electronic dance music is one of my favorite things. I don't dance, or if I do, I dance like Elaine Bennis, but I do have a lot of it on my iPod. It's great to drive to.
Yeah.
I just love that. And that was an awesome groove, man.
Thank you.
Christopher, I want our listeners to know that if they like what they're hearing of all your music, they can hear more at fromthetop.org. And we wish you all the best. That's just great stuff. Gosh, the piano playing, the composing, you've got it all going on, man.
Thank you so much.
Best of luck.
Thank you.
Christopher Stackness, 17-year-old pianist from Falmouth, Maine. Let's go out with another performance by that fabulous 14-year-old violinist we heard earlier. Ilana Zaks. Ilana, Christopher was just talking about Beethoven being his initial musical hero and inspiration, so I think you and I should play something for him. Tell everyone what we've chosen.
Beethoven, Sonata Number 8, Movement 3.
A very Beethovenian way to end the program, so very appropriate. I want to thank all of our great young performers and thank you all for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And now, Ilana, let's take it from the top.
From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. Our founding partners are New England Conservatory and WGBH Boston. If you'd like to appear in our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and from the May Family Foundation, supporting Fountain House, committed to providing opportunities for people with mental illness to live, work, and learn through a community of mutual support. More information is available at fountainhouse.org. and from Emily and Antoine Van Ochtmail, supporting New Futures, which works to help low-income D.C. area youth graduate from community college or certificate programs and become financially self-sufficient. Information is available at newfuturesdc.org.
This is Christopher O'Reilly, and I hope you had fun listening to this week's podcast. As you might imagine, making From the Top happen week after week costs quite a bit of dough. If you believe in what we do, we really need you to help us out. Make a contribution of any size at fromthetop.org. And now for a little bonus content, my break piece from the show. Enjoy.